Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. I am thrilled to have with me today ST Rappaport, who actually we met on LinkedIn. And I always love that because I start from scratch and then I meet a new connection who turns into a relationship and who knows where it's going to go. And this is where it led us first and foremost. So first of all, welcome to the show, ST.
Oh, thank you so much, Janice. I'm super excited. Really excited to be here with you today.
I can't not ask this question because I'm all about names and I'm all about sort of word origins and people's origins. So I have to first say, is your first and second name start with ST? Is it something that was because your name is hard to pronounce or was it a nickname? How did you come up with ST?
Yeah, so my name's ST, like four letters, E-S-T-I or E-S-T-Y.
Oh, yes.
Or like Estee Lauder, just in
yes.
French.
Yes, spelled differently. Yeah.
Right, because
yeah.
French.
Yeah, exactly.
But when I was in school, I decided four letters was too long. And so it didn't make my teachers happy, but...
Oh, so that long ago, because I think ST is
like third or fourth grade.
Such a pretty name, ESTI. It's very pretty. What does it mean? And what language did that come from?
It's from Esther, from Hebrew.
Yes, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
Because my grandma's name was Esther.
Yeah.
And they called her Essie, E-S-S-I-E. And I don't know if you know this, but in the Jewish religion, when you name a child, you have to name them after someone who's deceased, not someone who's living, right? Not like John Jr. So I was looking to name my daughter after my grandma, but I didn't like the name Esther or Essie. It was very old fashioned at the time, I guess. So I just used the initial of her name, and my daughter's middle name is Erin. And that's what we do a lot. I don't know if that worked in your family the same way, but that's how we sort of took those names forward and remembered the people in our family who were gone. So yeah, that's good. But that's I'm glad I asked because I that's kind of interesting. And the other thing I wanted to ask you is, now I've forgotten where you live. You live in
Florida,
right? Of course, I just got your address. You live in Florida, but you're not from, are you from Florida originally?
No, I grew up in New Jersey.
Okay. But you're American. You are American.
I am American, yeah.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about, I'm going to give a little bit of a blurb that I know about you, that you are, and your title, a brain engineer who works with ADHD entrepreneurs to unleash their potential via peak brain performance. And you assist them to optimize that ADHD so they can remove that overwhelm, get more done in less time, and enjoy growing their business again. I think what attracted me in the first place was the ADHD piece, because I believe that the older I've gotten, the more I say ADD or ADHD I've become. But I now have a granddaughter who has ADHD. And so I'm learning more about that how their brain functions. And first of all, how did you get into this? And tell me a little bit more about it.
Yeah. So I've never been diagnosed with ADHD, but my mom's ADHD. I've got brothers that are ADHD. Like, grew up in a family really high energy of ADHD.
Okay.
And so been learning about it since I was a really, really young kid. But essentially, I've been studying brains and brain science and how our brains think and function for a bit more than 8 years now. And the more I got into it, the more I realized it really helped people with ADHD. It really hurt me that a lot of what gets spoken about ADHD is, yes, people talk about the superpower, but what people also talk a lot about when it comes to ADHD is like what a person can or cannot do. Like, they'll always struggle with time, or they'll always be distracted. And they're like, you just have to deal with the fact that this is how it's always going to be like. And to me, that sounds very limiting. I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago, and I'm not going to be the same person that I was in 5 years. And anyone with ADHD is the same thing. And so I really want, got like with my work, was able to see how it really helped people get rid of those struggles. And ADHD could just be a superpower without those limitations.
So first thing that came to mind when you said in your background, you have family members who have been diagnosed with ADHD. Did you get tested for it too, or just they didn't?
Yeah, I just never got tested for it. I
I
most
know.
definitely have like ADHD traits or tendencies. I guess probably just like it's a bit of a spectrum, I guess, right? Of like
Yes,
how much ADHD, right? Compared to the other people in my family, it was a lot less.
Ah, oh, okay. Because every time I've listened to you on a, I've s listened to some snippets of you on podcasts and things, you talk really fast, right? And
Whoa, for my family.
oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Okay, interesting. And the other thing I thought was fascinating was that you didn't start reading till you were five.
I was it I was still going for reading tutors in fifth grade.
I mean, was it Einstein that didn't read until he was seven or something, or didn't? Yeah,
Something
something
like
like
that.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was reading on 8, 9, 10, 11, but it's really took me till I did this work at 11 years old, working on my brain that like I was able to read like fluently and not being shy about it and things like that.
Did you find it frustrating before that?
I was very frustrated. I was super shy about it. I found it like I would have to find all different techniques and like tactics to like work around it. So I couldn't. So let's say I learned from a really young age to like skim books because like I still wanted to read because I could read some words, but like all big words I couldn't read. So till this day, like if I don't force myself to stop and read, I'm just gonna skim. And I have a really low vocabulary. Spelling was really bad. Like I got made fun of a lot of it for it. I never wanted to be like called out when teacher like asked to read. It wasn't very funny.
Well, and it's like I was a teacher, and so I know it's not easy to, and I look and I watch my granddaughter, she's in a hurry to do everything. But when it comes to trying to like to she's only four and a half, so she's she's still learning about words and so on as well. But she'd much rather be physical than sit and try and read or try and do, but she's got some interesting concepts that she has, which are kind of cool. But okay, so you got into this peak brain performance, and I think you say you have, there are 28 brain functions that,
28 skills. Yeah.
sorry, skills, sorry, 28 skills. You say it better than I do, so explain it to me.
So there are 28 thinking skills, or another name to call
Yeah.
them is cognitive functions. I just
Got
like
it.
to say skills because they're a little bit simpler. But
Yeah.
essentially, we tend to think of thinking as like, oh, now I'm thinking. But really, while you're doing any task, including listening to this podcast, you're thinking. Your brain is processing, your brain is seeing, like, how is this relevant to my life? How is this not? Do I like this? Do I? All that is thinking. Driving, your brain is thinking, figuring out, can I turn, can I not? Running, talking to a person, talking to a client. All that is thinking, right? And those parts of thinking, there's 28 of these parts that make up these actions. Now, naturally, we all have stronger ones and weaker ones. I mean, like with 28 of them, some of them are going to be stronger, right? And some of them are going to be weaker. And those weaker ones are making it really challenging for us to do what we want to do. So I'll give you an example. I was just speaking today to an entrepreneur who was saying how a lot of times he's struggling with employees and with colleagues because it takes him really long to express himself, and relationships are really hard for him to build because they ask one question and he sends back like four long paragraphs of something that could be in like one sentence, and they're like, I don't get this. That comes from thinking skills. Specifically, in this case, it's called giving a thoughtful response, being able to express yourself in a clear and cohesive manner. Yeah.
Okay, so what are some of the most common issues that people come to you with who say, my business is just, I'm all over the map. I can't move forward because, you know, I can't function properly. What are the like three most common things that people come to you to help get help with?
Yeah, so big one, just like you said, all over the map, all over the place. Things are just all over the, super overwhelmed. Whenever there's a lot of information, getting overwhelmed, struggling to get started on tasks because they're just like way too much information. It's called, the thinking skill that is related to that is called clear perception. Okay. Essentially, we take in information through our five senses. So you're now taking in this podcast through listening, right? When you touch something, you're taking information through your sense of touch. Most of the time, the information coming into your brain is coming in a clear and organized way. But if there's a lot of information coming in, it becomes blurry and it becomes overwhelmed, and we just want to not do it. Ever opened up a room, opened the door to a really messy room that you know you needed to clean, but instead of going in to clean it, you just went out and closed the door?
Yeah. I always say to myself, I have to be in the mood or be ready to tackle that task.
Yeah. What actually is, why do you have to be ready? Because your brain has to be ready to deal with the information overload that is about to enter your brain. However, the stronger this thinking skill of clear perception is, the more information you can take in without it overwhelming you.
So I was listening to you on my walk the other day talking. It was your more recent episodes where you're using samples of stories of people that you've actually worked with. And I think you might say then to that, you know, try doing one more thing or try doing two things. Like you have a method for helping people very quickly with moving through that. Yes.
Yeah.
Can you give me one of those examples in this
For here.
Instance?
Yeah. Sure. Excited. Okay. So because we use our five senses to take in information, we're going to help our brain take in this information through our five senses in a clear and organized way.
Got it.
So we're going to go through the five senses and ask ourselves, what do I see? And literally list out, say out loud, what you see. You open that room. I see laundry. I see papers. I see pens. And what is happening is there, as you're listing it out, your brain is able to take in the information one by one instead of just being overwhelmed by this massive mess. After you list out a bunch of things that you see, what do you hear? Oh, I hear the AC is on. I hear the cars outside. What do I hear? What do I smell? What do I feel? And what do I taste? Taste will probably just be like,
yeah,
your saliva, unless you just drank coffee or something, you know, like, but just to go through those five senses. And then your brain is not overwhelmed anymore. And you can ask yourself the question, what's my starting point? What's the first thing I need to do? Just like that. And you will find yourself picking up garbage. You will find yourself putting papers away. You will find yourself being able to do it because your brain is just not overwhelmed anymore by the amount of information that's coming in. It's much more clear, organized. The cool part is, here's where the cool part is. If you do it enough times, you won't have to do it anymore.
Because it's changing how you think. It's changing that cognitive function.
You got it. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. So the overwhelm is one piece that an entrepreneur might come to you with. What's another one?
Okay. This is another one that's going to be very surprising for many of you. Do you ever struggle to make decisions? Or know someone who does?
Not me so much as my husband and one of my daughters. Yeah. You could die before they make a decision. Yeah.
That comes from the cognitive function of comparisons. Because what happens most times when we're talking about two options, we say, I like option A because it's cheaper. I like option B because it's bigger. But one is talking about price and one is talking about size. You are not comparing them on the same level.
As I so call it, apples to apples, right? Yeah.
There you go. I see you're really strong at this cognitive function.
Okay, well, that's encouraging. Okay, I have my own issues, but there you go. Okay, so I'm sorry to interrupt, but
we all have strong ones, and we all have ones that we can improve.
Right.
Because there's like no such thing as like having a perfect brain. You know, you
of
can
course.
Like, optimize your brain more, right? Anyway, so back to comparisons. So if you want to improve this cognitive function of comparisons to make better decisions, to organize your life better, any of that sort of thing, you want to take two items and compare them on the same parameter. Okay, so list out all the things that you want to compare it on. Price, size, texture, manufacturer, whatever it is, yeah. And then you're making your decision based on which parameter is most important. You get clear on what's most important. You don't walk into the comparison and say, "Oh, A is cheaper and B is bigger." But you know what? In this situation, size matters to me more. And so I can buy the bigger one without it being a whole like big deal because you know size is important. Obviously, size is important to an amount. If it's like $1 million more, then like, no, but like you understand, you have that priorities is really clear in your brain with the comparisons. So to actually get better at this, you want to take two random things you have in your house, two random things next to you, a pen and a phone or whatever. And just compare them on the same level. Put a bunch of different attributes, a bunch of different parameters, color, size, texture, weight, whatever you could think of, and then fill it out for each of them. Once you're comfortable doing two things, compare three things and four things. And you can make this even more challenging by comparing abstract things, not just things you have in your like on your desk or around you, but like what about two tasks that you have to do? Or what about two personality traits or two potential hirees or things like that?
Hi, everyone. Here at Relationships Rule, we are all about the personal touch. Dive into the 10-card gratitude challenge with me. Transform your relationships through the power of simple gestures. Join me and let's spread joy and appreciation one card at a time. You will elevate your connections and your spirits because it's just as much fun to send cards as it is to receive them. Ready to make a lasting impact? Then visit sendoutcards.com/Janice Porter and let's be unforgettable together. So I keep coming back to, if I'm comparing these things, especially in the objects, two things that I maybe want to purchase or whatever, I tend to come back to, and maybe this is just a different way of thinking of it, I don't know, but rather than comparing them for what they are, I have to come inside myself and say, do I really need this? Do I need the one that's bigger? Do I need, you know, like it's not comparing the two objects, but it's like, let's be real with, okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So essentially what there's two steps to this comparison. There's comparing the two objects and there's getting clear on what attributes are most important to you.
Okay.
That so also requires, so that's what you're doing by going inside. You're getting clear on that. But that is also comparing because you're comparing the attributes of like, by saying, do I really need the big one? You're comparing the attribute of like size to price or whatever it is. Yeah.
It's fascinating really actually, but that kind of breaks it down. Maybe those listeners who struggle with things like making decisions might be able to grasp onto something simple like that to make it easier for themselves. So that's great. Okay. So we talked about the comparison. We talked about the first one, which is completely left my head at the moment now. So, right. What was it?
Clear perception. It's
clear
called.
Perception. And then, yes. And what's the third one that's most common?
A third one, especially with ADHD, really, really, really big one is understanding time. Big word in the ADHD world is time blindness and not realizing how long time tasks, how long task takes, always running late to appointments, leaving tasks for last minute. Anything related to time falls under this cognitive function of time. Now, you mentioned Einstein at the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, ADHD Einstein also struggled with time and always said that time is one of the most abstract things and one of the most complex things for our brain to understand because it is very abstract. Mm-hmm. But he didn't say it's impossible. It is possible. It's just a little bit more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So Some of my favorite ways to get better at this cognitive functions, or to start getting better, I should say, is you want to buy those big, huge desktop calendars, those big
Okay.
ones,
Yeah.
and hang them up on the wall in front of you, but not just for this month, for the next 2, 3, 4, or even 5 or 6 months. Because what's going to happen is it's going to train your brain to be able to look ahead. And as you put important dates on there and meetings and different things that you're happening, who you're meeting when, it's going to start giving your brain an understanding of like, oh, this is next week. And if that's happening next week, I need to do this task before,
Yes.
etc. When it's visual in front of you, it makes it more concrete, right? Because time's abstract, you're making it concrete by putting it on an actual physical calendar. Another thing that you can really do is that often people with ADHD tend to either overestimate how long a task is going to take or underestimate how long a task is going to take. So help your brain actually understand it. For the next week, time all the tasks that you do often. How long does a Zoom meeting with a new potential client actually take you?
Or have to take, right? That's like you said. Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
Yeah.
exactly. And obviously, there's going to be average, right? Because like sometimes it's going to be a little bit longer. So you time a few and you get an average. How long does it actually take you to take a shower or
Yeah.
to put up dinner? And then if like you're 5 minutes before you have to run out the door for an appointment, and you're like, oh, I want to just put up dinner, but now you know that putting up dinner doesn't take 5 minutes, it takes more like 20.
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh, I actually can't start this now, and you'll be on time for your
That's a
appointment.
good one for me actually to look at. It was interesting. I got a call last night from somebody I hadn't talked to for a long, long time, and I didn't know him that well. And I had called him about something and left a message, and he had called me back a couple of days later. And so we were having this conversation. I needed to ask him something that he could refer me to somebody to help with, and we got into the conversation, you know, how's your family? You know, what are you up to? And we did all that and the niceties. And then I asked him, and then I felt a lull. I felt like the conversation was kind of done, but we didn't like, he didn't say anything else. So I found that I had to say, that's so great that you were able to help me. Thank you so much. And, you know, let's get together for coffee, book something maybe next week or the week after. And that was kind of ending it and helping him know that it was ending it. You know, like it,
Yeah.
sometimes you have to take control of those things because they can get awkward. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just an aside, but
No,
it just sort of hit
it's
me.
part of that's part of the relationships part,
Of
about like
course. Of
being
course it
able to
is.
understand and read the other energy and see like what's actually happening here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as far as the time thing, it's interesting. My little granddaughter, she of course, once she gets hold of an iPad, she wants to be on it forever because she's just a kid of the 21st century, right? And she it actually calms her down, which is really kind of cool. But we have to limit it, right? Because she could sit on it. So we'll say, you know, Amara, you can play on the iPad now, because I know that she's been out riding her bike for 3 hours and she's just needs to sit down and calm down. But I'm going to put the timer on 20 minutes. That's it. So because she'll go, oh, can I just have 10 more minutes, Grandma? 10 more minutes or whatever, right? And she'll push it and push it and push it. But she at least gets a sense of the time frame when the timer goes off. So it works sometimes.
Great. Yeah. No, well, she's still young and
Yes,
you're
of
still
course.
learning,
Yeah.
and it's right. And also, it's not just understanding time, it's like it's pulling
Negotiation.
in, right? Like it's exactly, it's fun. It's not like
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
say
Yeah.
10 more minutes if you told her to clean her room for 10 more minutes.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I know. She loves it. It's just interesting though to watch how that brain works. But so do you see when you're talking to maybe you're networking, or maybe you're actually doing some prospecting calls and you know discovery calls or whatever. Do you notice if someone is ADHD? Can you pick it up pretty quickly?
Yeah, so I personally don't love to just like label people ADHD.
And I understand that. Yeah, I
But
appreciate that.
yeah, but especially if I'm looking to help them, right? Like a potential client or something, then I'm looking to see which one of their thinking skills are weak. Now, people with ADHD often tend to have similar weak thinking skills, including the three that we just said. And so I'm not diagnosing and I'm not in this position to diagnose, but most definitely I'm looking more at the skills. And what I like about the skills is because they're skills, that means you can learn them. By just saying a person has ADHD, it's like, okay, now what? You know?
What happened?
I'm right here. Been talking the whole time.
No, I know. I know.
And that's it. So I'm saying, so it's skills. Talk about a lull, right?
Oh my God. That's so funny. Okay. So no, I was actually just taking a quick look because I couldn't remember what your education was actually in. And then I remembered that you had been a photographer. And that would give you a whole different perspective on people. So how did you go from that to what you're doing now?
Okay. So I never actually thought that I'd be doing what I'm doing now. Like I said, I got this when I was 11. I was on the recipient of this. And I saw how much, like even as 11-year-old, I saw how much it changed me. And not just in my reading, but like my whole life. And so I knew at 11, I wanted to learn it, but just to learn it because I love learning. And I'm like, I want to have this in my back pocket. But I started at 14, I think was my first photography business. And I've been doing photography in college. Like I went to the studio and I had a whole photography business. But I started this training. When I started this training, I
this
had my
is
photography
the,
the four-year scene training.
Yes. Okay.
Now the four-year scene training is quite a process of a training, right? It takes time and like to really get into it. And so I would do the training while I was also doing photography business. And there's a story. How deep do you want me to go into it?
Not too deep at this point. Yeah.
Okay. So essentially what I realized was at that point that I had another like massive transformation. And I realized that successful people need this also. Cause there's a lot of like, right. Like until then I thought it was like only for people with like learning disabilities or children or things like that. And I was like, people with businesses need this because I literally started saving over 10 hours every week from like another improved cognitive function. And like my business like doubled and tripled. And it was like, it changed everything. And that's when I was like, other people could be photographers. Like I want to go do this.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Well, it's fascinating, really. And people can read, I think, more about you and your work on your website, right? Which is still LifePicks University. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And before we go, I want to ask you a couple of quick questions that I like to ask a form of to my guests. The one I want to ask you first is because of what you said earlier, when you are taking in information, do you prefer to, and I'm sure the answer is no, but I could be completely wrong. Do you prefer to read, listen, or watch? Like reading books, reading, you know, versus videos versus podcasts, that kind of thing.
Honestly, it depends what my like goal is, like what I'm trying to do.
Okay.
The best way to get it in is actually listening and reading at the same time.
Okay. Okay. Yeah,
because then you're getting both, but not always is that possible, right? Like I usually more about like how can I learn more in this moment. So if I'm driving, like obviously
yes.
it's gonna be
yes.
Like that. Yeah.
Okay. That's like me. I like to do that too. But it's funny, I bought a book the other day that someone told me about, and I'm all about relationships. And this book looked really interesting about that, but easy enough to read because it had stories in it about people. And I started reading it. But only like, I can't read it when I'm out walking or I'm, you know, so I'm reading it before I go to bed and I'm not sure I'm getting enough out of it because I'm tired at that time. So that sort of affects my reading time as well. Cause there's too much to do during the day. Anyway, that's another thing I have to figure out. The second question I'd like to ask you, and then I have one more after that is, what is your take on curiosity? Do you think it's innate or learned? And second part to that question is, what are you most curious about these days?
Okay. I personally think that it's innate. We're all born with curiosity. That's how we learn. But I think it gets destroyed.
Okay.
And I am most curious about humans, everything about humans. So the human brain, human biology, human relationships, human interactions, all of the above, but humans just fascinate me so much.
All right. That's fair enough. That's awesome. And last question would be just what is your best piece of business advice for the entrepreneurs who are listening today?
Okay, I think that you want your brain or you want yourself to be able to do contradicting strategies and to be able to develop the skill to learn what to know when. I'll give you an example. You want to be able to like just take action and not get stuck and like move in and take action. At the same time, you also want to have the skill and ability to stop, to think, to strategize, to figure out what I'm going to do. But you can be really good at both of those, but if you don't know which one to do when, it doesn't help you. So learn contradicting strategies and learn and develop the skill to figure out what to do when.
Great advice. Very, very good. This was so much fun. Thank you so much for stopping by today and for answering all my questions and sharing your knowledge around the 28 cognitive brain functions, right? And the skills around them. So that's really fun. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you to my audience for being here. And if you like what you heard, please leave a review and share it with a couple of friends because we love to spread the word about people like ST Rappaport. So thank you so much. And remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.